Morning, everybody. Welcome to day two here at Microsoft Ignite Australia. It's another beautiful day here in Gold Coast. I'm originally from Washington, D.C. And as you may imagine, that's the best place on earth these days. And I'm so excited to be here. So before we get going, I'm actually very relieved that you're all honest. I did this session at another event, another conference, and there were a lot of posers because the answer was SharePoint. And I started with, you all are liars. It's true. Email, a 1973 frickin' technology, still powers the enterprise. It's not going to go away. It's like that relative that you hate, but it's your family, and you just have to keep them around. So we're so excited today. My name is Dux Raymond Tsai. I serve as a CTO of AvePoint Public Sector. And we want to really unpack and talk about what should I use and when. You know, in speaking with a lot of customers, on one hand, they're like, Office 365 is great. From a cost perspective, it's very inexpensive. But my problem is, Dux, as an IT organization, it looks like every single week Microsoft's releasing something new. You know, originally they had Exchange, OneDrive, SharePoint, Yammer, and then there's Groups and Teams, Staff Hub next week, what, Run DMC? But on the other hand, the business is kind of loving it. I mean, Teams is the new thing. Who's been using the preview of Teams? You know, Teams has the fastest rate of adoption, and it's not available for GA yet. It's awesome. So we're going to unpack that this session, and I'm very happy and excited to be co-presenting with my colleague, Blair.
Hey, everyone. My name is Blair Hainsworth, and I'm the director of AvePoint Client Services here in Australia, which basically translates to I head the delivery team. And I guess today I'm sort of the Robin to Dux's Batman, as you'll sort of see in this presentation. So, yeah.
I had to buy him dinner last night for him to say that. But it's all good. Speaking of dinner and evening, today we're going to throw a very epic party. It's a red party. If you've never been there, you got to go. So later, just talk to me or Blair and we'll hook you up. All right. So what are we going to cover this morning? We want to make sure we take advantage and make the most out of your time here. As you chose this session, we're very grateful for that. We want to talk about three key areas as our agenda. One, before I jump in and we jump in to talk about how you can think about what tools to use when, is really understand the landscape of collaboration today. What does collaboration look like in our modern world? And then second, we'll also talk about the tools we have today other than email. Again, we're going to keep email. Email will live forever. But what are the options out there and how should I think about options? And then lastly, we'll provide guidance, very practical, on what to use when. Now, to set the right expectations, I want to make sure you make good use of your time. This is not a session where we will go, this is Yammer. You click here. This is how you use Yammer. Here is SharePoint. This is how you use SharePoint. Here is OneDrive. There's tons of resources around that. Everybody with me? We want to provide boots on the ground, real life experiences. I know all of you are IT, or most of you are IT, and your job is to provide guidance back to the business. Does that work? All right. Today, so Blair, let me pick on you.
Yep.
I don't know if it's different here in Australia, but what does your world look like every single day as you go to work?
So I guess my workday starts about 6 a.m. Normally my dog starts licking my face and that wakes me up because she wants to go for a walk. And I can't quite face the world at 6 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. So I get out my phone. And being based here with a huge amount, of our organization in the U.S. and across Europe, overnight there's generally a fair bit of stuff that comes through for me to take a look at. So I get out the phone, I flick through the emails, and I kind of just do a little categorization. The first lot are the tick and flick emails where to send a reply, move on, take 10 minutes.
Yep.
And the second group is the stuff that I can't deal with on my phone. You know, so I put it down, get up, take the dog for a walk, run to work, right, and down to my desk, right? And that's really where I get going.
And I'm like that as well. In fact, the first thing I do when I wake up is I grab my phone. And I would think that most of us are like that. Today, technology is part of our lives. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go to work at 9 o'clock, turn on the computer, and that's my first interaction with work. It doesn't work that way anymore. Y'all with me? Today, digital trends are changing how we work. The lines are blurred between our personal lives and our work life. And what's fascinating, because of technology, we were talking about this yesterday, Blair, remote work has increased. Yeah?
So, Dux, the thing that surprised me most about this is it's actually only 4 times from that period. Because that basically spans my career. That's longer than my career, right? And if I think when I started a professional services firm, secure building, get up in the morning, no connection to anything, no bring your own devices, no iPhones, no nothing. Nowadays, the biggest change for me, and it was something we were talking about last night, is we actually have customers now I speak to, or people, who are actively figuring out how much it costs to keep somebody on the deck inside their office, right? And they worked out it can cost $15,000 to put somebody in a desk, right? I don't have that much money, right, anymore. You know, times are tight, mining boom's over, whatever it is. So people are trying to work out how to save costs. And one of those costs is we're shifting from the original days of I'm going to work from home, which was sitting on the couch, petting the dog, watching a bit of TV, maybe watching your emails, to the point where we've got organizations saying, guys, I want people working from home. Like, if you can have people at home 4 days a week and hot desk in 1 day a week just for connections, I want to go down that path, right? That is actually something that we see happening now. Has anyone else seen that or experienced that or come across people doing those numbers?
So in your organizations,
Completely virtual.
Yeah, so that's why 4 times that's a surprise to me. I thought we'd be much, much higher than that.
And it's going to continually increase. And that's why a lot of businesses were, you know how all those shared offices in the States, we have this thing called WeWork, where you just go to an office or Regis. Yeah?
Yep.
Companies are closing down offices and just paying subscription debt for people to go to work. You see, working from home is not about employees not wanting to go to work and just hang out, but there's an economic advantage to do this. So the world is changing, and technologies like the cloud, Office 365 certainly allows for us to do this.
Plus, here in Australia, Ducks, you know, house prices up if you don't have to commute to work every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've got a bit more room to move, so maybe it's a benefit for everybody else in their personal lives as well.
Absolutely. And as you may imagine, the more access we have to devices, the more remote people are, and the more people are working, we're generating tons of information. And this, by the way, this chart is kind of a little bit outdated. It's actually about 93% today. 93% of the world's data was generated in the last 2 years. This is amazing. Just think about it. Every single minute, how much content got pushed out. I think just between when I woke up and now, I just generated 1 terabyte of data of all my tweeting and emailing and Facebooking. It's just going to grow more. Right? Now, the question is, what happens to this data? The question is, from an enterprise perspective, how are we taking care of this data? This is scary, Blair.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting thing about it being shared more freely is there's always the concern that someone's trying to do something, I guess, maybe a little bit malicious, but that's really not the case. I mean, how many times do you accidentally send an email to the wrong person? I'm pretty safe when I email Ducks. I'm unlikely to hit somebody else or get the wrong person, but there's a fair few people with similar names and you can end up sending something to the wrong person. That's one thing that we see. And then there's also the other things of if the tools aren't used properly, people try and work around the tools that you're providing them. And I think you're all aware of that sort of problem.
And here's the thing, right? You hear a lot about hacking information or private information just being leaked. I believe a lot of it is not intentional. A lot of it is accidental. I mean, how many of your salespeople, when they need to share a big attachment and they can't attach an email, they decide to use their personal box or Dropbox, yeah? They won't admit to it, but they do that. I was talking with a customer. This company encouraged that. They're like, yeah, I let people use what they want, but here was a problem. Their lead sales individual decided to join a competing company, the competitor. Well, guess what? When he left the company, he kept his personal Dropbox. And when he joined this new company, he had tons of information about patents, new products that his original company knew he shared. Because the competitor was able to go to market first. It's a problem. By the way, all this research numbers, it's full research, industry research. I'm tweeting right now, and all the links are being tweeted. Yeah, I'm using the next generation HoloLens. I'm blinking, and it's tweeting. But just follow me on Twitter, and all these are being tweeted. And we'll share this to you as well. So this is the world we live in, right? And then layer this with a multi-generational workforce. And this is fascinating. You know, a lot of times we talk about there's this whole generation that's moving on and a whole younger generation moving in to work. And they interact with information so differently. For example, I have two wonderful kids. My son, Johan, he's 11. My daughter, Danik, is 6. They learn how to touch, how to share, how to scroll before they type. They don't even know what email is. My daughter knows about Snapchat because she, by the way, she doesn't have Snapchat. I have Snapchat, and she has fun. We take pictures together with those goofy little dog ears. And that's the next generation that's coming in. The way they work is so different. And a lot of organizations are struggling because I can say, living and working in the United States, in Washington, D.C., working with the government, they're like, you have all these younger generation wanting to work for the government. Well, once they got in, here's your company issued laptop. You got a VPN in. Here's your token. Here, everybody with me? What's VPN? Can I just use my Mac and my iPhone to tag you? Why do you have all those folders, 14 level deep? I don't get that. That's my pet peeve. I don't get, people have this unexplainable satisfaction as they expand and collapse folders in the network drive, yeah? You know who those are. And another thing Blair was telling me yesterday, I mean, look at this stat.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that you're sort of getting at is that as time shifts, people change, right? And we've got a slide coming up which shows a bunch of research. But the way that we look at using things and the way that we jump from place to place is really, really, really different. All right, so I guess I'm sort of, you had sort of the baby boomers in Gen X and you'll see the other ones come along in sort of Gen Y, and which is the worst generation ever, depending on how you sort of look at things. But they don't just sort of sit in there and look in the one console anymore. They jump from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And I think we sort of worked out, they say they shift 30-ish times, is it?
Yeah.
An hour, and Dux tested himself.
The millennials, on the average, switch devices 27 times in an hour. The generation before, and this is proven research, 17 times. I'm not even 30. I think, I'm 50, 60 times. I just keep switching, moving around, apps, phones. So we have to accommodate for that. That is real.
Yeah. There's a few people at AvPoint would argue that I can't hold attention for long enough as it is anyway. They're sort of smiling there in the corner there. So, we're all guilty of it, that type of thing.
And the other reality of how collaboration happens today, because of technology, because of how the world is becoming smaller, employees work on twice as more teams than they did 5 years ago. When we think about teams, we think about departments, project teams, but it's beyond that. There's now this concept of virtual teams, different groups from different offices working together. I mean, we as a company, AvPoint, we're a global organization, headquarters based out of Jersey City, New Jersey. I live and work in Washington, D.C. We have about 1,600 people around the world, but we work, regardless of geographic boundaries and time, we work closely together. I mean, for your role as a Director of Delivery Services, you work with a lot of our technical colleagues around the world as well, yeah?
Yeah, so about 50% of the resources I leverage aren't based in Australia or directly under my sort of remit. So there's a lot of the time I need to get to people in different places, and calling people is just not a feasible activity. So a lot of the time I call it go into the abyss, and I go out there and I'll go into Yammer and I'll go into different places and I'll track down. And sometimes for software, It's not just, I need to find who made a certain piece or understand a particular component. So it is a very different way of working from when I started out, and everybody I worked with, I could see them from my desk. All right, so.
And why is this important? You know, we wanted to paint a picture of how collaboration happens today, because when you think about when to use what, put the tool aside. Think about your world and your work. I know we're all IT, we love technology, and I'm guilty of this too, but the days of offering technology without understanding how the organization works doesn't cut it anymore. You can't go to the business and say, how do you like Office 365? You want a team site, groups, Yammer? Let's supersize it. Let's throw in Teams. Next! That kind of fast food approach just doesn't work. If you keep doing that, you know what's going to happen? It's going to end up like SharePoint. SharePoint is a 15-year-old technology, phenomenal technology, but guess what? It's the biggest file dump out there. It's where files go to die. And people hate it. Ah, SharePoint sucks. I hate SharePoint. Oh, SharePoint. I have a piece of advice. If you go back to work, you use SharePoint, right? In your company? People hate it, some?
Some hate it.
Yeah, so if that person comes up to you again and says, SharePoint sucks, look at them straight in the eye and say, SharePoint doesn't suck, you suck. It's a freaking tool. You don't want to fall into that trap in this new world of Office 365. The good news is Microsoft provides modern tools to address different needs. In fact, if you don't open your mind and consider how people work today and provide the right solutions, it's not that they're going to give up and not do anything. Well, guess what? Oh, IT is not helping me. Screw it. I'm going to go to Box. I'm going to Slack it. Anybody use Slack? I'm going to go to Dropbox. I'm going to go to Basecamp. I'm just going to swipe my credit card. What we're saying here is people work differently. They have different needs. And the challenge we have today, in spite of we're trying our best as IT, right? You know, we're going to set up SharePoint, right? Every department will have their sites. They have email, but they have other needs because of just how the world is working. And if you don't offer a solution, I'm just going to go to Box and do stuff in Box. Well, guess what? It's siloed. How sure are you when they leave the company, private information is not being taken as well? How sure are you people aren't copying and pasting 10,000 times? You know who I'm talking about. You know those project managers who track on Microsoft Project, on SharePoint, on Excel, and then they have Basecamp? They keep copying and pasting all the updates. They get paid too much to be a PM. And then lastly, shadow IT. Because IT cannot help the business, what do? They just swipe their credit card. They go at it. And that's what we don't want. We want to find that balance where we can help the business based on their needs and provide the right tools.
So this is the slide and the research I was touching on earlier that Dux and I dug up. It's from Avanade, and I think Dux is tweeting it now, so you can take a look at it. But it is very handy, and it does go through the different generations. And the first thing that stood out to me when I read it is we have Generation Z there, which was a reminder that soon we'll be hiring people who were born in the 2000s, which was the first time I ever sort of considered that. But this is, I guess, you know, it's relatively self-explanatory, but it takes you through how people like to use things. So you can see in-person meetings, you know, email, the two ones that we traditionally think about. See, in-person contact is still something, obviously, we like very much. Email is a good one for tracking how things change. As you go across time, Generation Z sort of said, I'm not really into it. Part of that might be a lot, not enough of them are in the workforce to sort of really get into that email sort of etiquette and style of working. But things like persistent chat and stuff that we didn't talk about previously, you can see how popular that's coming in. You've got conversational user interfaces. They're obviously things that you can talk into for those types of things. But you can see there is a real sort of change across it. And the big ones that you see that are very popular all the way across are sort of team workspaces and instant messaging and those types of things. But yeah, it's a really handy slide for when you sit down and think, what do I want and what does my workforce look like, knowing that your workforce is going to change and is changing very rapidly.
So the key for you is you can take this information as you go back to work, as you sit with your key stakeholders in the business, and really map out who you have in the organization, because this is pretty close on how they work. These slides certainly are available on the Ignite website, and it'll be available in Channel 9 as well. Yeah? So this is something that will be very useful for you. And the good news is, let's tie all this together, right? So Microsoft realizes this. Microsoft realizes that we are in a different world. And we are moving so fast. There are a lot of different needs, and Microsoft has tools to address those collaboration needs. Now, there's not going to be a perfect tool. And what I mean by that is there's not going to be a tool that will rule them all. Microsoft offers a suite of tools in a toolbox called Office 365, and it's up to you to decide and figure out what's appropriate for your organization, and we'll show you examples in a second. And one of the three key benefits that Microsoft provides is, first and foremost, it's an all-up solution. Let's just talk about money, dollars and cents. The reason a big driver for all of us going to Office 365 is just the cost. It's just really cheap. Imagine you get email, file storage, collaboration, social, now persistent chat for nothing. And that's why I'm excited about Teams, because Teams just lights up in Office 365. You don't have to pay anything extra, whereas some companies may be paying for Slack. Who's paying for Slack right now? Yeah, there's a couple of people. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people may say, well, it's really not like Slack. Slack has more features, this, that, the other. Of course, you get what you pay for. Not only do you pay extra, but it's a whole separate environment, authentication, data storage, right? So Microsoft provides a complete solution. Second is integrated experiences. We know adoption is hard. That's why people love email. What if you can make it much easier for people to adopt and work together in familiar interfaces that they have? Email, Office, Excel, what have you. And then lastly, security and compliance. That's very important. Almost every other day, Microsoft is releasing information on how much they're investing in security and compliance in the area of data loss prevention, rights management, cloud access security broker, on and on and on. And especially with a single identity through Azure AD. Anybody using AAD and set up ADFS in your environment? Yeah. It just makes it easier for us as IT. And just to provide some highlights, I won't spend too much time on this. I know a lot of us are familiar with Office 365, what it has to offer, but I just want to highlight some of the key offerings that it has. Obviously, Exchange is the email. OneDrive for Business and SharePoint provides that collaboration. And a lot of us don't realize this, but OneDrive for Business is unlimited storage now. You know, there was a certain point in time, it was only like, I think it was 1-2 gigabytes or 25 gigs, and then it went up and up, and now it's unlimited. Yeah? But then again, the question becomes, what do people put in there, and how do you ensure information that needs to be kept secured are secured? And Microsoft provides ways to do that. Modern collaboration around Delve, around Yammer and Teams. We'll talk more about that in a second. And Microsoft also knows that there are still people who like desktop email and Office, and that's offered through Pro Plus. So you can't beat this, and no other organization in the world can provide this level of collaboration offerings. So now that we've talked about how collaboration is working today, the tools Microsoft offers, let's jump in and spend our time in understanding what to use when. And what I want to do, both of us have done a lot of research and reading. There's a lot of resources out there, a lot of great resources, and we don't want to regurgitate that. If you're keen on learning more about how to use the tool, there's so much stuff out there, and all the resources are in this presentation as well. But we want to take it from a perspective that you, when you go back, you will provide guidance to your organization. Are we correct in that assumption? Okay. And what we want to do is focus on two key areas. First and foremost, if you want to figure out what to use when, is you have to establish business scenarios. I highly, highly discourage you from going to your business and say, okay, what sites do you need? SharePoint? You want Groups? You want Planner? You want OneDrive? Don't do that. Even though they have a keen understanding of what these tools are, don't do that. the value won't be as beneficial versus if you first have a way, in a practical way, to establish business scenarios. Okay, so how do we do this? I'll step you through a simple example, and in fact, Blair will demo in a second on what we do at AvePoint through a specific business scenario. So what are business scenarios, right? Business scenarios are just ways for us to identify business processes we have in an organization. Scenarios like project collaboration. Everybody works on projects. Writing a proposal. Your salespeople write proposals. Doing a marketing campaign. Those are business scenarios. Expense reimbursement. Travel, right? So it's important to understand those because we take these scenarios and then we're going to map it to what tools Microsoft offers. In fact, one of the things I really love about what Microsoft provides as a resource, let me show you real quick, is Microsoft is continuously investing on resources and tools and guidance around how to best leverage a platform and how to best drive adoption. So here's a simple example. The link is on the slide. Microsoft recently launched what's called Productivity Library. And with Productivity Library, it could be a self-service or you could do, look at it yourself. It's really good. You can select, okay, what's your role? I'm in HR, I'm in healthcare, and as you do that, in fact, let me do that quickly here. So you see it filters.
Let me pick this.
You made it hard work for yourself on the wrong side.
What's that?
You can't see the screen there. You made it hard work for yourself.
Should have been taller. Anyway, so as you click that, it will filter to the right scenario. And let me just pick a scenario. In the scenario, and we'll walk through this in a second. There you go. Within a scenario, right? Uncover opportunities to better meet sales forecasts. Blair, do you mind moving the cursor? So, and notice in this scenario, it will walk you through, okay, to do this business scenario and business process, let's talk customer, blah, blah, blah. And then if you look at that plus sign, as I expand on that, what it's going to do, it will provide prescription and guidance as to what Microsoft Office 365 tool you can leverage. Everybody with me? Is this helpful? How's the session so far? All right. I just want to make sure. All right. Now, so it's very important to identify a business scenario, right? So as you think about these scenarios, you have to define it and identify what's most important to you. What are your common challenges and pain points? And as IT, we're guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. We usually would like to tackle complex problems. Oh, when we go to Office 365 and Azure, let's make sure we integrate this line of business system and hook up with this API or call old data, this, that, the other. That's okay, but that should not be your first priority. Your first order of business as you want to leverage the cloud is think about day-to-day pain points that the business are dealing with. Simple things. I'm a project manager. I'm updating 10 things in 10 different places. How can you make my life easier? Everybody with me? I am a. I work in accounting. I see. I don't work in accounting. I work in HR. And everybody's emailing their performance evaluation to me in my email, in my inbox. And then I have to take those evaluations in Excel and consolidate it in summary Excel file. How can you make my life easier? So think about these scenarios and challenges. The other thing we want to consider is, what are the areas in which your organization you would like to improve? Thank you, buddy. All right. And we know that the fact of the matter is, when we start helping our organization, check this out. Everybody wants everything for nothing yesterday. Let me say that again. Everybody wants everything for nothing yesterday. Tweet that. You have to be smart. You have to understand which master you want to serve first, second, third. Normally, the masters you want to serve first are the people who write your checks, the people that has high influence in the company, HR, finance. And there's a whole process. I'll show this to you in a second. Sales. A couple other things. What are some of the factors that would help drive the business scenario forward? And when you think about factors, really it's three things. Number one, how can you make more money for the company? Or how can you help that the company makes more money? How can you help so that the company will save money? And number three, how can you help your company to make your customers happy? The game these days is about customer success, right? So who should be involved in this business scenario modeling or envisioning? These are some of the key people. And it doesn't have to be this big production. Start with something small. If you know HR is in a bind, if you know you can help project managers, start with them, right? Let me show you an example. So how do you do this? How do you do this, Ducks? This is great. I get it. Identify business scenario. What are the things that I can help the company make money, save money, and make customers happy? Begin to form your own business scenario. Consider using this framework. As someone in a team or a department, I want to blank what they want to do using blank, and you can help them out there. I'll know this is successful when blank. So it's very simple. Take this off. I'm sweating I forgot that it's summer here. All I brought was long sleeves and coats and warm shirt. Anyway. So when you work with a business, it's not this big production. Okay, tell me, as someone in sales, I want to have a single version of the proposal that everyone can access and edit rather than emailing back and forth. Simple. I mean, to us IT, yeah, docs, I don't even have to think about that. It's, put it in a library, co-authoring, no big deal. Where's the clicker? Now, but then for them, this is not typical. So what you could do is you can say, and again, I'm not saying this is the answer. There's a lot of different ways to do this. A simple way, maybe have a SharePoint site with library to centralize, turn on versioning, right? Enable co-authoring, and there you go. How do I know if it's successful? I'll know this is successful when my sales team can create proposals more easily and therefore have more time to close deals. And I can say that for us as an organization, this has changed how we build proposals. There are situations where 10 people are working on a big proposal, we're up against the clock, and the fact that we can do this and co-author helped us win deals. This is true. Co-authoring is going to be huge for your business. Some other examples. I'll go through this quickly. Another scenario, producing winning RFPs faster. So it's very similar. As someone in sales, single version, yeah, I just kind of blew that up. How can I better educate distributed sales teams? As someone in marketing, I want to deliver a virtual conference or webinar to ensure field sales are up to date. I can use Skype for Business, or these days, use Skype for Broadcast. Anybody use Skype for Broadcast? It's awesome. If you have Office 365, you have Skype, there's this thing called Skype for Broadcast. It's kind of like GoToMeeting, I guess, all right? Even public people can join. It's a great platform, and it records it too. I'll know this if I'm successful when field sales employees receive updates from marketing in a more timely manner, in a more rich manner. So, identify your business scenarios and prioritize. Simplify and start small. Don't go after complex scenarios, just simple things, right? And the beauty of this, if you start with a simple business scenario, the risk is lower. I can go to my boss and say, hey, Blair, for this next project, instead of emailing Microsoft project files left and right, I want to start using Planner. And let's just take this one project. And Blair would most likely say, you're not going to mess up a lot of people, just this one thing, it's good. And the beauty of starting small and something quick, you can deliver value right away. Now, how do you prioritize, right? I said earlier, everybody wants everything for nothing yesterday. The way you think about this with the key business groups you talk to, you gather all their business scenarios and business needs. Where you want to focus on are things that are in green. You want to focus on scenarios where it has low difficulty to deliver but high impact. For example, instant messaging. I know all of us, or most of us, I would imagine, is using Skype, but there are some organizations that don't have Skype yet. As they onboard to Office 365, that's one of the most valuable workloads that can be enabled. Another example, something that's medium difficulty but high impact, HR policy review workflow. You can use things like Power Apps and Flow to automate a lot of these. So focus and prioritize scenarios that are in the green zone. Now, I want to walk you through a very pragmatic example, and then Blair will show us a demo on how all this works together.
So, Ducks, before we go, everybody, if you're going to take a photo of one slide, this is the slide to go for. It really is the backbone of where we're getting to, and Ducks is going to take you through it. But this is the most important part, and this is the thing I think that will make sense the most, and it'll give you the what to do and when and why.
So, the next step. I feel like we have a bunch of tourists in this room.
I thought I'd point it out, otherwise we'd go past it.
I know.
And, you know, then we can...
It's like, where's the Sydney Opera? Anyway. Okay, so here's how we tie this together. Okay, Ducks, I get it. Business scenario, we have to prioritize. But how do we tie it back to the tools? So let me give you a high level of what these things are. Again, this is not a 101 how to use these tools. There's a lot of resources out there. Yammer is the enterprise social platform that comes with Office 365. Skype for Business is instant messaging. SharePoint, who doesn't know SharePoint? Okay, good. If somebody raised their hand, I would say you suck. Anyway, Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is a brand new chat-based workspace. And we'll see Microsoft Teams in a second. But let me give you a quick scenario on what Teams is good for. Teams is good for high-velocity collaboration activities. Let me give you three examples. Number one, who works in the financial sector? Stock market. Okay. So every day there's trades that are going on, and you have traders watching stocks on what to buy, what to sell, all that good stuff. Imagine if you're in a stock market business and you have a bunch of traders, imagine how they talk. They use IM a lot. They use email a lot too. But IM, Skype is great, but it's not enough. So with Teams, it's actually based off of Skype technology, but it brings in all the collaboration capabilities and document management of all the other platform. It allows a bunch of traders to go into a chat room, for lack of a better word, and then they can talk about, okay, high, low, buy, no, do this. Well, no, there's an article. It says this company is doing well. Boom. Oh, here's a document from last year. We published this, report. Everybody with me? High velocity, synchronous, going back and forth. There's a deadline. Another example, in IT, developers. Anybody using Agile or Scrum or these modern way of development? Yeah? Where you have 2-week sprints and you have releases to get out? IM is okay, but it's not as rich. So again, it's a fast pace back and forth, all that good stuff. And all this is captured, by the way. Another example, if you are in the media industry, like... anybody works in like media, TV, news? Yeah. If there's a major news coverage, in the recent U.S. election, for example, where during the debate, you can see all the news outlets are putting out, oh, he said this, let's fact check, she said that, let's do this. Everybody with me? So within the company, oh, no, let's research this, let's pull this. Is this good? Have you checked that? Okay. So that kind of fast-paced, high velocity. The next swim lane we have is OneDrive for Business, which all of us know what that is. Office 365 groups. Office 365 groups, the quickest description I can have for you, groups is and again, this is my words, this is not the official word, is a collaboration enabler. Groups works across Exchange, SharePoint, Planner, Teams. It works across the stack. An analogy I have with groups is like the keychain that holds all the collaboration keys together. Everybody with me? So let's say you have a keychain, you have a house key, you have a car key, you have your bank key to your secret vault in Switzerland. Groups is the keychain that holds them together. Does that help? And then lastly, we have what do we have? Email. Okay. OneDrive for Business. So what I want to walk through, and Blair will demo this, you take your business scenario, friends. So I have two examples, project collaboration and proposal development. So let's walk through how this process works. So let's say you thought of a great idea to build a product. So again, I'm using my world. We're a product company. We throw it out on Yammer. Hey, guys, I think we should build this new fancy product. What do you guys think? Oh, wow, that's a good idea. Have you done research on what the market is, how much money we can make, this, that, the other? Who are the competitors? So after that process of ideation, let's start this project. Let's create a SharePoint site. Let's put all of our project information there. As the team is working on that project, because this is product development, right? There's developers, there's PMs, different people around the world. That's where we can use Teams to do that persistent going back and forth. And then let's say we've got some draft of what the functional specs are. We have SMEs not only in the company, but maybe in the industry. We work with Microsoft. We want our colleagues in Microsoft to review this, so we would email it to them. And then it looks good. We're going to present it. I'm going to do a Skype conference or Skype call to present what we're proposing to build. And, you know, we go build it, whatever, and we archive it. Everybody see that? What observation do you have here, Blair?
So I guess the key thing we're trying to sort of make sure that you guys all wrap your head around is has anybody actually gone in and Googled, like, groups versus teams or sites versus groups? Which is the first thing Dux and I did when we put this together, because we wanted to see what people were saying. And we wanted to say, let's get away, abandon the idea of it's this versus this versus this, right? Because that's not where we're at, right? You don't just get in one lane across here and swim up and down the pool, right? You have to cross and pick up the thing that you need to use, right? So that's what we're sort of getting at, and that's the point that we're trying to make and really sort of hammer home here, right? It's not about saying, I'm just going to use this, or I'm just going to use this, or set and forget. Right, you make it available, you think about your governance and those types of things, but you allow people to pick the bit they want at the point in time as they move through the life cycle and jump from one lane to the next lane to the next lane to back. Right, that's really the point we're trying to make. Does that make sense to everyone?
And I think that's been the challenge, right? And in fairness, I don't expect everybody to know every single tool, because guess what? This is not our full-time job. Oh, you're the Windows admin? Now I'm going to knight you as the Office 365 dude as well. There's just so much. So the way you think about it is not, do we just use SharePoint or Yammer? No, it depends on what you're trying to do. Now, what I'd like to do is, and the second example is self-explanatory. So Blair here will demo and walk through a typical scenario, a day in the life at AvePoint.
Okay. All right, cool. I'm here. Excellent. All right, so everybody's seen this. It's Yammer. It's not too complicated. So what, for me, if I think what happens in my day at AvePoint, you know, everyone goes through, like, this is how their workplace happens, and there's this beautiful process. This is actually what really happened to me. Reese, who's sitting over there, comes up to my desk, and he goes, mate, and he holds up his hands like this, all right, and he goes, remember how this is my bucket, and this is your bucket? Well, that Office 365 migration project we're talking about, that one's coming out of my bucket, and it's going into your bucket, all right? And so now that's done, I'm off. One of the junior guys will email you the details, and he walks back and sits at his desk.
So, Blair, what does Reese do for AvePoint?
I'm not quite sure, but apparently he does sales.
So, Reese, if you raise your hand, so if you want to buy anything, you can buy it from Reese. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So that legitimately happens. That actually happens to me, and he does hold his hands up in the air, which is, you know, very empowering. And so then from there, I think, all right, I got a new migration project, but let's be honest, I'm relatively lazy, and I don't want to do any more work then, you know, is absolutely required. So the first thing I do is think, okay, I'm going to do a migration project. It's one of the core things that we do as a company. I'm not going to start from scratch. There's no need to start from scratch here, so I'm going to gather some resources. So the first thing I do is I'll go to a broad audience, which is Yammer, and go like, hey, guys, I have a new migration project. All right. Something like that, not too complicated, as I can't type. And then what I would normally do, it's going to give me a second, is tag somebody in. Now, I'll tag Ducks in. There's a couple of reasons. First one is maybe it's a public sector project. He's head of public sector, so he's going to have some stuff that's relevant for me. Also, I know that Ducks is a pretty big Yammer player, and then if I tag Ducks in, even if he doesn't give me something, he's likely to loop in somebody else, and that's how I get the conversation going. So I'll go with that, and it allows me to reach out sort of globally. Drop that in there. So that's the first thing I'll do. The second thing is, now that I've spoken out to the guys outside, I want to go to the guys locally. Because when you migrate to 365, although, you know, the cloud's the cloud, the setups we have in Australia is slightly a little bit different, and when we do the plans, we do them a bit differently. So in this case, I can jump across to my mail here, and we have, for our tech team, and you can see it on the left there, a group called Australia Tech Team. I assume most people have seen groups, but what I would do is reach out to that. I've got a couple options. I could click in there. I could go into a discussion. Once again, I'm pretty lazy, so... Oh, give me a second. Unfortunately, when you leave things here, sometimes you'd lose the connection, but we're all right. Has anyone got the last... Right, all those types of things, hit it, hit send, right? I can make it more complicated. What that basically does is that flings it into the group for me, right? You can probably see or hear the little email pop up there, right, and it jumps in. If I clicked in here in the group, my group would load up, and oh, it's already in there, so that's how it is. So that's the first thing. The first thing I do is a global reach out. The next thing is I want an Australian level reach out. So from there, with a bit of luck, right, over time, my man Ducks up the back here has replied, and if I look, I've got a little notification here. All right, I've got a notification, click into it. And Ducks is saying, check this out, all right? And he's got a link here, and by looking at that, that looks like OneDrive, so I click on it. And he's got some files there that might help me out. So we've got a few things, a decade for the project board, migration master list, that's really helpful. All right, so I've got something globally, and the next thing I go hope for something locally. So with a bit of luck, one of my mates up in Sydney, SharePoint Tony, who's self-styled himself with those names, might see my message up there in the groups, and he might reach out to me. Tony's a bit different. He's an instant gratification type guy. So he'll send me a message. So Tony might say, you know, hey, mate, SPT has you covered. Click that through, and I might get a message here. There we are. Hey, mate, SPT's got you covered. That's a pretty normal message I would receive from Tony up in Sydney. And then he'll say, check your email. Right, and that'll be it, and I'd just give it the thanks SPT, and maybe something like SharePoint Tony gets them every time or something along those ways, because he likes a bit of that, and he might send me an email. So give me 1 second, I'll do that for you, Tony, because you haven't got it there. New. Oh, 1 second, the email dropped through in there, and it's coming through. Might take a second as I wait for it to run around there.
So as you can see, attach file. This is Blair is doing this. This is the typical model that you want to show your business. What I would suggest is, and the good thing with Productivity Library, it has snippets of this. But as you walk through the business, walk through a business scenario with it. Because if you just go there and say, hey, okay, Teams, this is Teams. Oh, check out Teams, how great it is, or groups. There's no context. Everybody with me? So walking them through a day in a life in the scenario that they can relate, light bulbs would flash for them. And then that's where your value comes in. Yeah.
So now we progress from there, and we're going towards the bit that you want to know more about, which is groups and teams, and do we use it, or how do we use it, or even Planner. So the answer, I guess, from our point of view is I would normally at that point, I'll be honest, I wouldn't create a planner or a group or a team. I would yell out to our project manager and I'd say, hey, mate, I want a planner, I want a group, I want a team, whatever it is, and he'd go out there and create it. I assume most people have seen the planner interface. Creating a new plan is pretty simple. You click new plan, you type it out, it creates all the associated bits. I've populated a few things in here and there. One quick question I think people always ask is, like, if you've not looked at Planner, is like, should I use Planner or should I use Project? Or why do we use Planner and how is it working for us? I'll be really honest about why we use Planner. When you create a project manager creates a project plan and they love it, and mine definitely loves it, and all my clients' guys definitely love it, and they create a plan that runs somewhere between 400 and 4,000 lines. And if I have to sit in a meeting and look at a project plan, I'm going to drown myself. Like, I refuse to do it. So, you know, I understand there is a value in it, and, you know, Project has a lot of value for complex management and timelines and all those, and I'm really happy for him to do that. But what I really want is basically a little bit more agile. What's on the list? What's happening? Is it done? Certain categories. So I want a summary. So for him, I say, hey, mate, you can create your project plan. You can put it in the site. You can do all those things. But in Planner, I just want you to put the core things on the plan and who's working on it and roughly where it's going, where we're up to. So that way, any point in time, no matter where I am, I travel a lot, I can just jump into Planner and have a quick look.
Sure.
All right.
Who's used Planner before? You guys like it? I love Planner. Again, it's not a versus project, but it depends on who you are, scenario you're in, and how you want to take advantage. For those who haven't seen or used Planner, I highly encourage you to attend a Planner session. There's a session just on Planner. Check that out. They'll dive deep into how to use Planner, the benefits, and Dave, the product marketing manager, awesome guy, and he'll certainly unpack that for you. Yeah.
So from there, I guess what I do, I've got Dux's link here of the files he sent. I might just copy those across into my actual, you know, project there. So I click there, and it will copy the items across there. I'll just copy them straight in there. If anyone's seen that before, if I go into my Planner, I click through to files, I'll be able to see those files in there. So I've got the stuff Duck sent me. Maybe I'll grab the email from Tony. If it's useful, I'll add that up in there. Or, you know, maybe I won't, depending on how much value he sent me through. But we'll see where we are there. So that is a very simple way that we go from one to another to the next one.
And one key point I also want to raise, and this is where you'll find the value of Office 365. You know, I understand there are certain organizations that are still debating, oh, we have to be on-prem and the cloud. But imagine all this, the seamless interaction, moving content from email to your Planner, to your SharePoint site, to your OneDrive, and security is still enabled, permissions is respected. That complete solution is very, very powerful. And you won't get that if you have external solutions where you may could do customization so you can respect permissions and all that, but again, it's going to take a lot. So Office 365 provides that capability to you. There.
So the next thing, I'm just going to touch on this really quickly, is Teams, because I haven't used Teams and where does it fit. And it's actually a really interesting one. Obviously, it's a very recent thing, right? And we're trying to work out, okay, where does it fit for us? And the scenario, I guess, you'll see it on the diagram coming up that we're looking at employing it, is I say we do a lot of migration projects. There's actually a massive amount of manual work in moving, you know, documents from all different legacy systems and file shares into Office 365, wherever you want to put them, right? You've got to move the file, make sure it's there, make sure the metadata is right, the permissions are right. There's a lot that goes on. So we have entire teams of resources that perform migrations, right? And the way what normally happens is a lot of the time, times are tight, things have to happen quickly, so we actually have day shifts and night shifts, right? So we have a shift that works through the day, and then at different times when we have a shift that works through the night. Right? And they just hand over from one to the other. And what that happens from the project management hub in Australia, which is the guys that speak to the client, is that when we get in the morning, one of the first things that has to happen is we need to know where are we, how much data went, how many documents, was there any errors, was there any issues. But what normally happens is that the project manager gets in, so, you know, errors in my case, and he'll have a speak chat to them. He'll go through, they'll probably have a very long sort of Skype chat. It goes on for half an hour, 45 minutes. And in that time, because I've got a whole bunch of other stuff, I'm not there, right? They've had a one-to-one conversation. And then I come back, I go to Errors' desk and go, so where are we? And he'll give me the 10-minute rundown or the 5-minute rundown. And I'll go, well, I want to know more about this, this, and this. And we end up replaying a play-by-play of the last 45 minutes. So where we're looking at going towards Teams is those scenarios where it's constant interaction between people who are spread around. That's really where we want to roll it out. So if I switch back to you,
sure.
Where are you at? Eight.
Eight, yeah.
Cool. All right. So here is, I guess, the story that we went through there. So I did my global request on Yammer, you saw. I saw my group team requests. Then I read my response from Ducks. right? We saw me copy the document. I had a chat to SharePoint Tony over there. I grabbed the document from the email. It all went into the plan. So that was the sequence. And I guess the next thing that we want to add in or bolt into it and look at using for the next project is using a team, right? Because if I've got 25 migration engineers spread around, it's much easier if we can all work on things together, right? Does that make sense?
Is this helpful, walking you through this? All right, so that's the first lens you put on when you want to think about when to use what. There's another lens you have to consider. And that second lens is, what are your collaboration factors?
So I guess we've got four of them here, but these are the four factors that really influence outside the business scenarios of how you're going to interact or how you're going to use what. So the first one is audience. This makes sense. So, you saw me use it there. When I want to go organization-wide, I might go for something like Yammer because it allows me to reach everybody, tag people in, tag more people in, right? When I want to get slightly closer in, I tend to shift more towards SharePoint, Groups, Planner. It's a slightly lower sort of audience in there. And then really, I believe Outlook and Skype, they're more one-to-one. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, yeah, but I can CC someone in an email. But I guarantee you, everybody's been in one of those email chains, and there's a few culprits in this room who will have a one-to-one conversation with me CC'd. And about the fifth email that goes through, their phone rings, and I say, mate, you either solve that, pick up your phone and call someone, or take me out of that chain, or I swear I'm going to fly to wherever you are, and we're going to have a serious discussion about email etiquette, because I've got 45 emails in the last hour. All right, so that's the first factor that we look at. The next one is time sensitivity. Right, I guess for us, Teams, Skype, high tempo, fast paced. Right, you saw when Tony messaged me back, he's an instant gratification type guy. He hit me up with an answer. Look at that, he told me straight away. I knew straight away. Teams, because we have to work so closely with our migration teams who are based sort of dispersed depending on time zones. Teams is a good option there. For more asynchronous events or asynchronous sort of things, SharePoint, Planner, Groups, Outlook, maybe a slightly better sort of setup. And this is one that we debated a lot, probably the third point, isn't it, Doug?
Yep.
Yammer. Where does Yammer fit? Is it, dump it out there and wait for it to come back? Or is it, quite quick response? And we kind of sort of felt that depending on the way people use it, it really isn't any tempo thing. So if you think about how often, to a simple analogy, is how often do people use Facebook and you get tagged in something and you get hit. Was that me?
You got hit.
Yeah, you get hit back with a response, yeah. You get hit back with a response almost instantly. So depending on how you use Yammer and how people use it, we feel it can be for any one of the two options.
Well, you raise a good point, right? Because one analogy I have is when I work with organizations, there's this negative sentiment with all these tools, but then I would say, okay, forget about work. Like, who has Facebook here? Raise your hand. All right. Okay, keep your hands up. My next question. For those that have Facebook that also have Instagram, keep your hands up. That also has Snapchat. Okay.
Right. I thought a few would go down for Snapchat. If you had gone for LinkedIn, we might have been all right.
LinkedIn. Oh, who has LinkedIn? All right, good. Now, my question is, when you post something, how do you know where to post? Do you duplicate posts? Yeah, I do. But, it depends on the factors, right? Who I'm talking to, time sensitivity. Y'all with me? So that's the kind of context and thinking you have to have around this. It's not a one or the other. And you tie it back to your scenario. Blair?
And then factor three, collaboration tones, which is how you're expressing yourself, right? So the tone really sort of settles around being formal or informal. So when we look at it, Outlook and SharePoint, traditional SharePoint sites, we consider to be much more formal. In many organizations, SharePoint isn't the place where people are collaborating. It's where they're storing the things they've collaborated on. So we kind of accept that that's how it is. Yammer, Planner, Groups, Teams is informal. When we say informal, it's more organic. It happens a lot faster. And one of my favorite things about Yammer is just to be able to throw things out into the abyss and see what comes back. So it's more informal. And then Skype, I feel, can go both ways. And I think most people understand that sort of insight when we get there. So, yeah, anything, Ducks, or your...
No, that's about it, yeah. Cool.
And this is my favorite one, and this is probably the one that's going to resonate. And we put this together based out of some questions we've had in other events,
sure,
and other times, which is, let's be really honest, your organizational role does affect the way that you use the technology. Right, so I'm sure somebody here was like, oh yeah, that group thing's fine, or that team's thing's fine, but such and such isn't going to use it. Now, let's be really honest. The role that you have within an organization is going to impact the collaboration tools that you are going to use, right? And if we ignore that, right, then it's, you know, do it at your peril.
And this is something I want to talk about and stress on. Again, as technologists, right, we figure out the scenario. We know what tool is best. But the last point, or especially this factor, is we have to also recognize the politics. Who are we serving here? And I've been in a lot of organizations where IT goes around. How many times did I tell you, don't send that attachment, take that document, upload it into SharePoint, grab the link, and send the link? You've done that. Never happens, yeah? And you don't dare to tell your CEO to do that. What you do is you tell the admin, hey, when he sends an email, take that attachment, move it to this library. It's not because they don't want to learn. It's not because they're, you know, most of them, they're against technology, but their focus and priority is mostly away from devices and computer. They're trying to close business, take care of organizational stuff. So email is a quick and easy way. So Outlook is a de facto for a lot of senior leaders.
I mean, the key point I want to make here, and anybody's ever worked with me, I'll always say to people, pick the battlefield you're willing to die on, right? If you're going to try and force something down people's throats, you've got to evaluate whether it's worth doing. That's the main sort of takeaway from there. And yeah, as we're sort of saying, it's really your role that dictates it. I used to be a lot more active on the more collaborative tools 2 years ago, but now I've got more than a dozen people and then 30 people who are located outside that I need to be working with. You know, I travel about 3 days a week. It's just much less feasible for me to perform and behave as well as I used to, right? And my team is somewhat accepting of that. And the other thing is your role dictates how people respond. So, you know, although I say email may not get you a quick response, right? Depends on where you are in the food chain, right? Because if you have a C in front of your name, or, you know, like Ducks does, and he sends an email, he's going to get a response pretty quickly after someone sees the email, where, you know, whether or not it's a good thing, a bad thing, it is kind of the way of the world.
Now, one of the things, too, is to consider is we're not saying here, well, are you saying Ducks just leave it status quo, just leave them alone, let them keep using email? No, that's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is you have to be open to the fact that there's situations like this where you have to slowly push and slowly demonstrate the value, because once you demonstrate the value, even top leadership would adopt it. And that's what I love about Office 365, because guess what? All these tools are here. And a lot of your senior leadership use this more than their computer. Now, one thing I was going to say is a little tip. If I want quick response from my team, I realize this already. If I do it on email, I don't get response right away. I post it on Yammer, all company. Public shaming works. No. So we kind of put all this together in a chart, right? So I want to kind of highlight an example. I think this will be helpful. This is, so in the business scenarios where I show swim, where we showed swim lane, in the second consideration for the collaboration factor, we didn't put the audience, the organizational role here because it's self-explanatory. So for example, let's say from an audience perspective, you're doing one-to-one interaction and communication. So audience, individual is something that's not as urgent. Email works. Y'all follow me? Something that's around a team, you know, a project team, for example, and it's informal and it's in between urgent and low, then you can use any of these. Planner, group, SharePoint, TeamSense. Y'all follow me? Now you also notice email cuts across everything. While not ideal, that's a reality. I mean, remember, the first thing you walked in to when you came to this session, I had that survey, email cuts across everything. You want to do your best to enable your organization to leverage all these other wonderful tools, but email, at least for the foreseeable future, would apply and support a lot of the use cases. And then lastly, as you see up top, right, Skype works well for both scenarios, informal and formal. But usually, when we think about Skype, there's a level of urgency. Hey, where's this? Have you talked to this person? What happened? Everybody with me? Yeah. Is this helpful? Okay. What do you guys think of the session so far? Good? Okay, good. Blair was complaining to me this morning. He's like...
Did you give him the context of, if we're going to prep, I'm really jet lagged, meet me at 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So we start prepping at 5 a.m. He's like, yeah. I only do this once a year. So.
Yeah, 5 a.m.
Okay. Now, lastly, so we think about the scenarios. We think about the collaboration factors. You have to be in this for the long term. How do you facilitate sustainable adoption? I encourage you, as you think about driving the usage of these technologies, the word adoption by itself is not enough. You need to put the word sustainable in front of it. Because, and I'm guilty of this, a lot of us, when we think adoption, oh, we just send people to training. We just make them watch videos. They'll adopt. No, they won't. You know, how long does it take for a habit to stick? Anybody know it's a magic number? 21 days. That's for an individual. You know, how long does it take for a typical organization to adopt new technologies across the organization? 15 to 18 months. That's proven study and survey. If you have Office 365 and you think you just throw everybody over the fence and read this manual and they will adopt, they won't. The only thing they'll adopt is email. So the good news is, hopefully this session has been helpful. There's a lot of resources out there. Think about the scenarios. Go to the Microsoft Productivity Library, which I showed you. They show you a lot of examples. Approach. There's a three-step approach that Microsoft helped put together, drive adoption, tons of resources. And even better, you're not alone. Microsoft has been investing a lot on what's called the Microsoft Technical Community. Anybody signed up for a tech community yet? If not, I encourage you to do so. Just do a search, Microsoft Technical Community, sign up. It's an open forum for customers and Microsoft to talk about, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? There's a whole section on driving adoption. There's a whole section on when to use what. And there's a whole section people talking about business scenarios and exchanging ideas. So I encourage you to check that out and understand how to better facilitate sustainable adoption. Now, the other aspect is, these are some more links to resources that you can check out. But I want to ask people questions here. So before we wrap up, I'm going to ask one question. I'm going to have you ask questions if you have any. What's the biggest takeaway? I'm going to ask a couple people. What's the one takeaway after attending this session and conversation that we have? What, anything that surprised you? Or what was your biggest takeaway, sir?
Different tools for different people.
Different tools for different people. Good. Any big revelation, ma'am?
We're using it wrong.
Oh, she said they're using it wrong. That's okay. That's why you're here, right? All right. Anybody else? Sir, okay, over there. What's your big?
The tools are complementary.
What's that?
They're complementary. They all work together. It's not about one tool for to do everything.
Ah, exactly. There's no one tool to rule them all.
If we all switch 27 times in an hour, then we can definitely switch between a couple of small tools.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's the point we're getting to.
There's another hand I saw earlier. Yes, sir?
I actually learned that
Reese
does something at
Apple. Oh, so Reese actually worked. Good. We're going to take 2-3 questions. Any questions? We'd be happy to answer. Yes, sir? What about what?
Traceability.
So his question, what about traceability? Can you expand further?
You start your conversation on Yammer. You move into Teams.
Very good question. The question is, how do you track and trace all of this, right? And the answer is, you can track and trace every single thing, not just yet. But that's why groups came to be. As I mentioned, groups is the keychain. So in his example earlier, we shot an email to his group. And every team has a group. So that group will still surface on Teams as well. Those same documents that you put in Teams will show up in the SharePoint site of that group. So Microsoft is working hard in making all of this traceable as well. Yeah.
The other thing that sort of almost kills me, I'm not picking on you, but the thing that kills me is that we love folders for years, and we're obsessed with the idea if we just had just the right folder structure, we could find what we were looking for. But the only person who can find it is that one person who put it in the folder. right? Yet those people who love folders think, how would I ever find anything across these different tools? Yet in the end, once you go to the tool, you can search pretty easily and you'll get there pretty quickly. So the problem's not as big as you think it is, and it's also not as new as you think it is. It's just the same thing in a different way.
And another point is, from a traceability, let's be honest. Do our users today think about traceability? This is much better than what we have today. I mean, your business users, you talk about traceability, they start using Box and Dropbox and that, throw that out the window, yeah? Okay, good. Yeah. Before I forget, I'm going to answer your question. These are the related sessions that you can check out, too, that they're going to do a deep dive into groups and planner and whatnot. Yes, sir.
You mentioned Outlook is pretty much the tool for the older generation in management. Do you think that's the reason why Microsoft has only implemented the concept of out of office just for Outlook, and that setting doesn't apply to all the other tools that the younger generation are using?
Yeah, I mean...
So the question was, for the purpose of the recording on Channel 9, hey, people watching Channel 9, this is the question. The question was, I'm in the wrong job, I tell you. The question was, do you think that email was intended for more seasoned veterans, and that's why the concept of out of office is only available in Outlook? Because younger generations, that whole concept doesn't really exist anymore. Blair?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was getting towards. My big belief is, sort of in that space, that the idea of just being out of office, as sad as it is a diminishing idea over time. Obviously, you know, you have some sense of that through Skype and those types of things of where people are. And eventually, at a certain point, if you can't get them on Skype or groups or Teams or whichever you're using, you are going to shoot them an email, right, or try and call them. So eventually, you're going to end up there in the end anyway, right? But yeah, you know, my wife doesn't like it because I spend too much time doing things. But yeah, the out of office idea is a somewhat diminished idea from maybe when we first implemented email in 73, did you say?
73.
In Singapore, where it was very new, but yeah.
All right, we'll take one more question. Yes, ma'am?
Hi, as an adoption specialist, I regularly get asked which is the best tool to launch off for your user's data. Does that actually work?
Sure. Yeah. Very good. So her question is, an adoption specialist, what's the quick win, aha moment, users will see the value right away? Again, it may sound so simple, co-authoring is on top of the list. Huge, right? Co-authoring. Second, Yammer is actually big because the level of people needing to learn how to use Yammer, the barrier is not that high. But you have to put the right context. You have to put a scenario. Because on the flip side, if you just, hey, here's Yammer, have a good life, guess what? Tomorrow you have 10 cat pictures.
And the more distributed you are, I think Yammer would definitely be higher up, the more spread out you are. If you're less spread out, then I would probably start going a bit more into a team-based one. But just saying this tool's the best one to start with is probably not where it is. It's going back to what Duck said about pick a business scenario that you can get a quick win out of and work out which tool's going to give you that win, right, and go that way. That's the way I go about it.
All right. I'm going to take one last question. Yes, sir. Good. Sure. So the question is, we didn't talk much about video, so I'll be happy to talk about it. The answer is yes. He's asking, is there any adoption or uptake on videos? Absolutely. But Office 365 videos, and they're doing more improvements, it's a great way to store videos and deliver videos on demand. So it's like, you know, the analogy is like YouTube for the enterprise, right? So there is. In fact, I would highly encourage you, beyond the typical text and documents, videos is a big thing, and the platform supports it. And there's another investment Microsoft's releasing around Microsoft Stream as well. Yeah. All right. So for those that ask questions, I have 4 passes here to our red party tonight. So come up and make sure you get it from me. But other than that, hopefully this was beneficial. And make sure you fill out the eval so you can get a chance to try that, drive that drone, I think, tomorrow night. What do you guys think? Was this helpful? All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
And we're around here. Hit us up on Twitter or come by the booth. If you have any other questions, we'd love to answer it. Yeah? All right.